friends, and welcome back to the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. I'm Jill Sullivan, your host and one of the co-founders of the While We're Waiting ministry. This is a podcast of stories, stories of devastating loss and grief and heartbreak and struggle, and stories of hope and healing and faith and yes, even joy. Underlying every conversation is the hope we have in Jesus Christ, which makes it possible to not just survive the loss of a child, but to live well while we're waiting to see them again in heaven one day. You can learn more about our ministry and the free bereaved parent retreats we host by visiting our website at www.whilewerewaiting.org. Welcome to episode number 202, which is a continuation of my conversation with Susan Morrison about the loss of her daughter, Miranda. In our conversation today, Susan shares about the loss of her only sibling, her sister Stacy, when she was a teenager, and the impact that has had in her life. We also discuss the before and after of child loss and hear some of Susan's favorite scriptures. Finally, she shares about the ministry she founded for bereaved moms and her desire to inspire other bereaved parents to find ways they can serve those who are grieving in their own communities. Once again, I believe you'll be blessed by listening in. You mentioned holidays a little bit ago, how Miranda just really made such a big deal about those holidays, certainly because she didn't know how many she was going to have. How has your family dealt with holidays, birthdays, Christmas, those kinds of things since Miranda left?
Well, I will say that those days are getting a little quieter now. You know, not as many people touch base, you know, unless I post something on Facebook. And I do that occasionally because I love hearing stories of people's memories about Miranda. I do try to have a plan of some kind for those important dates. I think having a plan is really necessary. That first year after her death, I was set on finding a tradition of some sort to commemorate her birthday. So we collected pet food. She was a big dog lover, and we collected this pet food, and Jackson helped us deliver that to the local animal shelter. And we did that for a couple of years, but for some reason, it just didn't seem too sustainable for us. I don't know why. It was good, but it didn't click. The one thing that we do now that has sort of stood the test of time is that we take Jackson out to dinner, either on or near Miranda's birthday. For years, we went to Rosa's Mexican food restaurant. Do y'all have that there, Jill?
We don't have that here, no. Mm-mm.
Well, anyway, she had that out at Texas Tech. So every time I went to visit her, that's where she wanted me to take her for dinner. So for a long time, that was our tradition, was to take Jackson to Rosa's. But this year we let him choose his favorite restaurant. Our dinner conversation is usually some story about Miranda, what Miranda's life was like at his age. Of course, you know, I almost always shed tears, and he really tolerates those pretty well. He doesn't seem too intimidated by those.
Yeah, that's good. I love that y'all have that kind of relationship.
Yes.
You know, I think all of us that have lost a child have this very sharp dividing line in our lives that splits the before from the after. Talk about the before Susan and the after Susan.
The before Susan was very much type A personality. You know, I truly did believe that if you do A plus B, you'll get C.
Yeah.
So losing Miranda has obviously humbled me. I don't hang on too tightly to what I think I can control. And, you know, I try to release some things. I can go to the worst case scenario pretty quickly. I don't like that, and I'm working on that. I'm really trying to make it a habit of taking every thought captive. And I'll say that journaling has helped me a great deal with that. But probably the most significant change is that I've learned to give myself grace. I just don't have that second effort anymore to push beyond, you know, my emotional and physical ability. Once it's depleted, I can't really push through that. So I've had to change some priorities, and I've realized that I do require a lot of quiet time to refresh and recalibrate. So I guess you could say I've learned to steward my capacity so that I can be my best for myself and for my family.
I haven't heard that phrase before. Steward my capacity. I like that. I could learn from that. I'm glad you shared that. So what have you learned about God and His character through your journey with Miranda?
Well, when I think about God and my relationship with Him, I kind of chuckle a little bit because it is obvious that in dealing with me, He is a God of patience. You know, all of my life, I have been a very hands-on, do-it-myself, stubborn kind of student. I never was one that really learned by simply listening or watching the teacher. You know, I had to do it myself. And kind of really the same thing with this grief journey. He's let me drift a little bit just to hash things out, to work through what I've walked through. And I love those words from Lisa Turkhurst. But, you know, I'll kind of drift a little bit, but it does not take long for me to come running back. And He's very faithful and I am utterly dependent on Him.
And that's the way we should be all the time, right?
Yes.
Yes, it's a little harder for us type A's to do that, but yeah,
yes.
That's where we should be all the time.
Yes.
All right. Is there a particular scripture that has been especially helpful to you on your grief journey?
Oh, Jill, that is just so hard to choose one. And you know, I do kind of have two different grief journeys, one of anticipatory grief when we were fighting cancer, and then one now since Miranda left. So I'm not going to read these two scriptures, but they were especially helpful to me if any of your listeners want to look them up. Not only for themselves, but maybe they know someone who's in a hard place right now. But both of these scriptures talk about God being with us in our trials. And they're both from Isaiah. And one is Isaiah 41:10. And the other one is Isaiah 43:2-5. But the first verse that I taught Jackson, which was kind of ironically the first verse I memorized as a child, is Proverbs 3:5, and it seems so much more meaningful for a child who starts out in life really kind of in a hard place. And that is, as a lot of your listeners know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I will say that in conversation recently with Him, you know, as He's getting older, of course, you know, middle school has been a little bit tough. It's tough for all kids. But one that I've used with Him often is John 16:33. And that is that I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I think especially for young men who want to, you know, conquer. I think that that last part of being reminded that Jesus has overcome the world is just kind of neat.
Yeah, that's true. So the loss of Miranda was not your first experience with grief. Would you mind sharing a little bit about the loss of your sister and the impact that that has had on your life?
Well, I lost my only sibling, my sister Stacy, when she was 15. She was killed in a car accident along with five other teenagers. So I watched firsthand my parents' grief. And then I sat beside both of my grandmothers at each of my parents' funerals. So yeah, both of my grandmothers outlived my parents. And so I've seen some healthy and very unhealthy ways to grieve, mostly unhealthy. And now I'll say in their defense, you know, we need to keep in mind that even as recent as 20 years ago, we didn't have the grief resources and the verbiage to talk about grief that we do today.
Right.
But you know, I watched the most important women in my life walk through the experience of child loss, not knowing that one day I would as well. And because of what I saw happen in them, even as soon as Miranda's diagnosis, I vowed two things. One was that Miranda's name would be fresh in our family. And I do think parents set the pace for this, and speaking from a surviving sibling perspective, I think this is very important because, you know, if mom or dad are having a bad day, they're not going to mention, you know, you feel like as their surviving child, you don't want to mention their loss. And then, of course, if they were having a good day, you know, vice versa, I just did not bring up Stacy's name. And so what happened is over time, Stacy's name became so silent that when my dad's obituary came out and people saw that he had a daughter who had preceded him in death, my mom's coworkers were surprised. They thought I was an only child.
Wow.
So that is one thing that I vowed. And the other was not to isolate myself. You know, even an injured animal will hide while hurting. And I saw in my maternal grandmother, especially, she was my spiritual mentor. So this kind of surprised me. She did hold fast to her faith. I will say that. But she developed severe anxiety after my mom died, to the point where she wouldn't go to the grocery store in the wintertime because she might get a flu bug. Or if it was really windy outside, she wouldn't go out to the mailbox to retrieve her mail because there might be pollen in the air and she might get a sinus infection. I mean, it got kind of crazy, but I could see that being alone is just not good. And God did not intend us to carry these hard things by ourselves.
Yeah. Well, in light of that, knowing that God really does not intend for us to carry these things by ourselves, you started a ministry called Hope Dawning. First of all, where did the name come from and where did the idea come from?
Well, as we know, hope is the confidence and assurance of what we do not see. And dawning is that first glimmer of light after a long period of darkness. So I will say that Hope Dawning was never intended to become a ministry, like a lot of ministries, but we have been amazed with what God has done with a really simple idea. And that idea started, Miranda passed away in January of 2016. So pretty quickly, Mother's Day season was on us. And I had never thought too much about Mother's Day. It seemed just like another Hallmark holiday. You know, the kids would put little dandelions in a paper towel and give to me, or they'd make macaroni necklaces. But now that Miranda was gone, you know, Mother's Day felt very different, really important. And there was this realization that Mother's Day is kind of a time mothers inventory their family, so to speak, you know, who is there, who is not there. And then I realized that, you know, really kind of haunted by this realization that surely my mom and my grandmothers felt this way too. And, you know, there I had walked shoulder to shoulder with them in their grief, and I didn't get it. I didn't know. And I mean, I grieve the same people that they did. I grieve for my sister. I grieve for my mother, and I grieve for my dad, but it was nothing like losing a child. So again, as this Mother's Day was approaching, I started thinking about women in my community, most of which I didn't know personally, but I knew that there had been women in our community who had lost children. And I was thinking, you know, surely they are feeling the same way I am at this time of year. So one day, out of just pure faith, with my heartbeat that was pounding out of my chest, I pulled into the parking lot of a local event venue and met with the owner. And I told her I wanted to rent her space in 1 year's time for a gathering for the bereaved moms in our community. And I had no idea, Jill. I had no idea if anybody was going to help me. I had no specifics. I didn't even know if anyone would show up for this. But in faith, I put my name down in her calendar for April the 29th, 2017. And that was the Saturday before Mother's Day weekend that year. We don't ever do anything on Mother's Day weekend. We generally do it a week or two before. But anyway, as soon as I left that venue, I got in my car and I called my friend Kathy, and she's also a bereaved mom. And I told her what my idea was and that the event was already on the calendar. And she's a teacher by profession. And so in that typical, you know, affirmation tone, she says, well, what does that look like? And anyway, in short time, we had two other bereaved moms on board. And for an entire year, we planned and prayed over every single thing. We met at my kitchen table and we prayed over every detail, all the way down to the fact that we knew that every table would have to include a tissue box, you know. So that first year we hosted 34 moms, and many of those moms still attend our events. In fact, a lot of them are serving other mothers now, which is just a beautiful thing to see. And I think back on how brave they were because they had no idea what they were about to walk into. And most of the women did not know one other person in that room. And probably a lot like you, Jill, you see these parents come, these mothers come, and in our instance, they come in and they're so shaky and they are so teary and afraid. But, you know, by the time they left, they were standing a little bit taller and you could tell that they had some fresh strength and some fresh energy. And, you know, one of my favorite memories of that morning was that it started out and it was really quiet in that room. But, you know, by the time the event was over, the volume had increased because the moms were connecting with each other. They were talking to each other. And, you know, our hope for them was that they would at least become familiar enough with each other and the other faces in the room that if they were to see each other at the grocery store, even if they couldn't remember names, that they would be reminded that they are not alone in child loss, that there are some others like them. So the structure of our event has basically stayed the same over the years. And I want to talk a little bit about that, but hoping to give some people some ideas. But that first year, we had a volunteer mom who collected donated books and Bibles and journals and devotionals, and she created this resource area. And in that area, we also included promo materials and pamphlets that, you know, for Christ-centered grief support groups, you know, who are our area counselors, that sort of thing, and retreats like yours, like While We're Waiting. Uh-huh. But these were resources we felt confident in recommending, knowing that child loss is so out of order and so, oftentimes so sudden that mothers usually don't know where to start in their healing journey. So when the moms arrived, we handed them a shopping bag and we told them to go shop that resource area free of charge. We also had volunteers who served mothers pretty food, if you know what I mean by yep. that, pretty food.
Sure.
And really pampered the moms. We always have a guest speaker, and that's usually either a counselor or an author. A few times we've had an instrumentalist play music, and we usually display the children's photos either on the tables. Sometimes we get kind of fancy and we'll create a slideshow so that as their names are being read during a time of remembrance, you know, they can see the children. The mothers are handed a white carnation during this remembrance time, and you can Google why white carnations are symbolic during Mother's Day. But, you know, the first event was such a success that our church asked us to host seasonal classes for bereaved moms. And so then it was then that we realized that a ministry had been born, and we proceeded to go about applying for and acquiring our 501c3 status. Our official mission statement is really simple, and that is to introduce and connect bereaved mothers to each other and to the area's faith-based counseling resources. So, you know, even though our hallmark gathering, obviously, is the annual Mother's Event, but we've also done retreats, we've done field trips in the area, and now we do have occasional small group gatherings. We've grown so much in the past 8 years that we've had to split the moms up, for, you know, we'll have them meet an additional two or three times outside of the event. But we've served about 250 moms, I guess, just in our local community. Usually what we've done with the small groups, because we've grown so big, and again, we will gather for one large event in the Mother's Day season, but we have split into small groups, and typically that's done geographically so that the moms can get to know each other in their own communities. And then we have a group specific to suicide, one for infant loss, and then one that I have led, and that is for women who have bereaved grandchildren. Jill, I've had some calls from other parts of Texas asking, you know, if we have a Hope Dawning in their community, but we don't have immediate plans to expand our ministry right now. But I would have to say that there is no patent in serving hurting hearts. And in her book, Let Her Grieve, Let Me Grieve, But Not Forever. I want to get that right. In her book, Let Me Grieve, But Not Forever. My friend Verdell Davis Kreischer says that there are two questions that we often ask. And that is, does anyone know? Does anyone care? And that's really all we as grievers need. So in the beginning, especially because we're so hungry for gestures of compassion and understanding, I really think that any church or life group, Sunday school class could duplicate what Hope Dawning has done. And I highly encourage it. And we've done it all different ways. We've had it as one big gathering in little event venues. Or we've, of course, during the pandemic, we had to go virtually. That was very well received. And then we've had some women in our community who have the gift of hospitality, who have opened their homes as host homes to small groups. So we've tried it all different ways. And I can tell you that God shows up every time. Every way we try it, He's there. And it's always very well received.
Yeah. I love how you said there's no patent on serving hurting hearts. You guys have created something beautiful there with Hope Dawning, but anybody can do that in their own community.
Anybody.
Yeah. Just a small gathering
of
moms together. And I love that you do it at Mother's Day or right before Mother's Day, because I remember those early years, that was the hardest holiday for me. Harder than Christmas, harder than Hannah's birthday, harder than anything was Mother's Day, because it's just supposed to be a time of mothers and children together, and our family was no longer whole.
Right.
So I love the timing of that you guys provide this at that time.
Yes. And I will say, and finish talking about Hope Dawning again, I hope that it inspires people to reach out and think about, you know, women in their community who have lost children. And I found out recently that one of our Hope Dawning mamas is going to host an event this year for Mother's Day for those who have suffered infertility. So again, I just hope in sharing the story of Hope Dawning that it inspires people to think very creatively in ways that they can serve those hurting hearts.
I agree. I hope that there are some new ministries, or just even if it's not a formal ministry, some new gatherings that come just from hearing your story about Hope Dawning. It's all about the connection.
Exactly.
Even our retreats, that's what it's all about, is that connection between bereaved parents. And that's not complicated to cause or to bring people together like that. So very good.
I have often said, Jill, that I think that we become bilingual in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We can instantly sit with another bereaved parent, and we can speak a language that no one else quite understands, but we get it. And it is very important that we connect with one another.
Absolutely. All right. So we're about to wrap up, but there's always one last question I like to ask. Has music been an important part of your grief journey? And if so, what's on your playlist?
Well, I am married to a musician and I gave birth to one. So you would think that I'd be very dependent on music to soothe my soul. But ironically, since Miranda left, I have a greater need for silence. And to me, there is nothing more beautiful than the sounds in nature. I have these cardinals that come to my bird feeder in the morning. And I just love that little unique, happy chirp at my feeder. I run, I can hear it and I run, go see them. And I love the sound of running water. I have a little fountain in my backyard. So that really blesses my soul. But the question was, what is on my playlist? And I have a friend who recently introduced me to a new one, or at least it's new to me. You may be very familiar with it already, but there's a new one out by Stephen McWhirter, Come Jesus Come. And it has been on a loop the past few days. Of course, one of my favorites is Hillsong's Oceans Where Feet May Fail. It was one that Miranda loved. It came out at a time that she was pretty stable in her cancer fight, and she would crank it up. She loved to have that song playing really loudly as she was getting ready for her little part-time job that she had. And so, of course, we played that at her celebration of life, and anytime it comes on, it's just a sweet, I always feel like it's just kind of a Miranda thing, you know, when I hear it, and I love it. But I'll say probably my life's anthem, and this is going to kind of age me a little bit, but I don't care. I love it. It is Victory in Jesus. And those words, especially now in that song, is still, it just blesses my heart. And one line in particular is, "And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory.
Amen. I love the old hymns. I grew up with the old hymns, and there's so much rich theology in the old hymns, and it's just beautiful. So thank you. I love that little trip down memory lane with the Victory in Jesus. We still sing that in our church from time to time.
Oh, I need to come. I need to come to your church.
Well, I think it's something about Arkansas. That is just one of the hymns that every church in Arkansas, I think, sings that one pretty often.
I miss it. We don't have that. We don't really have that here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Well, there's a couple of things. And in closing, I'd like to give your listeners a scripture that I feel encourages us to persevere. And I found it highlighted in my mother's Bible not too long ago. And, you know, remember that she too was a bereaved parent.
Yeah.
And it comes from Psalms 71:20. There you go, Psalms again. "Though you have made me see many troubles and calamities, you will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again." And that was just a treasure to find in her Bible. Yes. But, you know, I will say in closing that the gift of our children's lives doesn't end at the grave. Because of their lives and their leaving, God connects us to people we would not have otherwise known. And I have probably met, Jill, well over 300 people since Miranda left that I would not have otherwise met. And, you know, especially through Hope Dawning events, as you can imagine, I've met vendors and counselors and volunteers and authors and other support group leaders. But especially when I meet another bereaved parent, I'm not just meeting them. I am meeting their child as well. That's right. So, you know, just think, for instance, that it's because of the lives of Hannah Joy Sullivan and Miranda Ryan Morrison that you and I are together during this time today. So I can only imagine what a wonderful reunion that's going to be one day. And Jill, how many years closer are you to seeing Hannah again?
16 years closer.
Wow. And I am 8 years closer to a reunion. Thank God.
Yeah.
Victory in Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you, I've met so many bereaved parents, and heard the stories of their children. And like you said, when we meet these bereaved parents, we meet their children as well. And I really believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to recognize them because yes. they've become a part of me just hearing yes. their stories. And that is something to really look forward to. I'm going to know Miranda when I see her. I do believe
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Well, and can you imagine Hannah and Miranda are, look at our moms today.
That's right. That's right. I love to think about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining me and for sharing Miranda's story so beautifully and talking to us about Hope Dawning and just encouraging all of us to reach out to the people around us and minister to hurting hearts. God calls all of us to that ministry, and it may be just sending a card to someone or Absolutely. Sending a text. Like you said, all of those people who sent you scriptures, you know, they didn't Yes. go out and start Absolutely. A ministry, but they sent you scriptures. And that made Right. a huge impact on you and made a difference Yes. in your grief journey. We can all do that.
Right.
So hopefully this encouraged someone to reach out and encourage That's someone exciting. Else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the While We're Waiting Hope After Child Loss podcast. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, please take just a moment to leave a rating or a review, and please feel free to share it with someone you know who might be helped by it. We're so grateful for all of you who come back and listen every week, and those of you who may be listening for the very first time. I hope God has used it to encourage you today and to help you live well while you're waiting.